This is Lancer Radio, Pasadena City College, and welcome to Over Coffee. I'm Dot Cannon. Horror and sci-fi author Matt Carter has something he wants to say to you. Boo! And that's exactly what he says with his brand new novel that he's co-written with co-author F.J. Artichnal. We'll be telling you a lot more about that as Matt joins us in studio in just a moment. But first of all, good morning. This is Dot Cannon with Lancer Radio News. In national news, a prosecutor claims an off-duty New York police officer terrorized the family of... And welcome back to Over Coffee. Author Matt Carter loves all things Halloween, and he's going to incorporate a good scare and a good time into his writing. Matt, who, by the way, is a PCC graduate, writes horror, sci-fi, some young adult fiction. If I'm counting right, his short stories have so far been published in 7 different anthologies. And next year, his first novel, written in collaboration with fellow author F.J.R. Chichnell, is scheduled for publication. And by the way, F.J.R. is also Matt's wife, and she, too, was a PCC student. The new book's entitled Splinters, the first of a 5-book series called Prospera Chronicles. And as Matt joins me in studio now, we're going to be talking about writing the experience of creating that book. Matt, welcome.
Hey, it's a true pleasure to be here, Dot.
It's great to have you. How did writing first become important to you?
By accident, really. I mean, I was always a kid. I always loved to tell stories, loved to tell lies, a few little tips, as my dad would say. I always had a story in my head. I was always putting a story down on paper, and I always just did it for fun. But after a while, once being an adult and realizing, this responsibility thing doesn't sound so great, I said, hey, I think I can try this writing thing professionally, and well, we've gone from there. I mean, it's been a long, tough road, but it's finally getting some results, and we're really excited to see where it goes.
This is an exciting thing. Tell me about the beginnings of deciding, yes, I can do this professionally. Where'd you go from there?
I first came up with a novel. I just, scrambled together a lot of ideas I'd had for a while, put it into a manuscript, put it out there, and was resoundingly rejected a couple dozen times over. I let it get to me for a while. Then I started just doing short stories for a bit. Didn't really take me anywhere. And then I got together with my wife. We started doing just writing together. And, we both made each other better at this. And I think we both can attribute a lot of our success in this to each other. And I know I've helped her, and she's helped me tremendously. I wouldn't have been able to do what I'm doing now without her. And We're a force to be reckoned with.
I expect that people are going to be reckoning with that force 1 year from today.
Oh, here's hoping. I mean, I don't know when the book's exactly going to be released yet, but they are looking for a fall of 2014 release.
Before we get into talking about Splinters, would you tell me what you remember best about your time here at PCC?
I had so much fun in Brent Keith's acting classes. I mean, I'm such a mild-mannered guy generally by my life, but in his classes, I mean, it's where I met Fiona. That's pretty good, too. But we really just got to cut loose and have a lot of fun, and I got to just be crazy for a while. And I think that actually helped me as an artist and writer because I learned not to hold anything back.
I'm wondering, too, because you say as a mild-mannered guy, yet you write stories about haunted stains and voodoo dolls and things like that. How did you choose your horror genre?
Oh, I think it's always been in there with me. I mean, my dad, he raised me on a lot of the older monster movies while kind of keeping a lot of the newer, bloodier stuff kind of a taboo. But naturally, I found my own interest in that over time, and just horror became a part of my life. I was so fearful beforehand, and now I just embrace the darkness. I look at it, I have fun with it, and I like to create it. I like to, getting a good scare out there is healthy, I think.
I think so, too. Tell me about crafting your first short story that got published, your first horror story before.
Oh, that would be Benny the Bunny. It was a 500-word or shorter flash fic. It was basically about just a killer stuffed rabbit doll that, goes after a guy after his kid dies. And, that really comes from my old-seated fear of Chucky. I swear, I was 3 when the first Child's Play movie came out. I looked exactly like Chucky, and that kind of warped me for close to 20 years. And then it's like, it seems fitting that my first story out there is going to be about a killer toy.
So he's Benny the Bunny rather than Chucky the doll.
Oh, yeah. And that one's probably, in time, Benny became kind of a trademark. He's Little Green Rabbit shows up in pretty much every one of my stories in one way, shape, or form. Probably get his own novel someday. We'll find out.
Will the Little Green Rabbit be any place in Splinters?
Yes, actually. It shows up in a carnival scene as a prize.
That's almost like Hitchcock showing up in cameo appearances in each one of his movies.
I like to try. I think Fiona actually wound up working him into Zombie Slayer, her novel, too, a bit.
Something else to look for. How did the concept of Splinters and the Prospero Chronicles first come to you?
Well, it was a joint thing. I mean, this didn't come from either my head or her head. We had been looking for a project to do together because we have so much fun writing together. And a lot of it just came from a genesis of wanting to put together a lot of our favorite things in the world. I mean, I had a lot of, you know, horror movies and sci-fi influences. She had a lot of young adult influences. We were both really watching The X-Files obsessively at the time, and we liked the dynamic between these two main characters, and we wanted to set up a story and universe that would take place in the heads of two separate characters. I mean, it's more about the partnership and the friendship between them than just everything through one character's eyes. So it started out with that genesis, you know, get a little bit of The X-Files, a little bit of The Thing, a little bit of H.P. Lovecraft, put it all kind of in a blender, and it became this expansive universe that we just keep building on and we've really fallen in love with.
Did Fiona say you're now in your third book of Prospero Chronicles?
Yes, this is a 5-book series. We are almost finished with the first draft of our third book. First one is already with the publisher, again, looking for a late 2014 release. The second one is with our agent for consideration, and third one's almost finished with that first draft.
What an exciting place to be. We may have to continue because we're going to come up on a break, but I'd like to know, what are some of your rules for writing when you're creating a world, like you said, and making it compelling?
Everything has to logically flow from one step to the next. You can't just have something just because. I mean, okay, you see this creepy monster over here. What's that monster's story? You've got this mystery hanging in the background. It can't just be a mystery for the sake of mystery. Everything needs to have a reason. Everything needs to have a place. Even if the reader doesn't get all the details, you as an author need to know why everything in this universe is.
If I were to ask you, why do you have a green bunny, for example, you would explain exactly why there's a green bunny in the carnival.
Yes, it's basically an evil takeoff of Barney. A little bit of Barney, a little bit of Chucky, but all in the form of a green bunny.
Awesome. Well, we'll be back in just a moment. You and I are listening today to Matt Carter, who is an author of horror, sci-fi, and young adult fiction. Look for the release of his first novel entitled Splinters, which he co-wrote with his co-author and wife, F.J.R. Titchener, to come out towards the end of next year. First of a 5-book series called Prospero Chronicles. When we come back, I'm going to see if I can get Matt to maybe read a little bit of his work here on Over Coffee. This is Over Coffee on Lancer Radio. Facebook page, facebook.com/Lancer Radio. Be sure you like us, and we will be back in just a moment here on LancerRadio.org. This is Lancer Radio, coming to you live from the beautiful Pasadena City College campus, where you're with Over Coffee. I'm Dot Cannon. Fair warning, my guest is going to scare you.
That's worth a try.
It certainly is. I'm talking today with Matt Carter, who is a horror, young adult, and sci-fi author, and Matt has promised to read from his latest book. So, Matt, I'd love to hear it.
Okay, well, the book here is Splinters. It's dealing with a small town in Northern California called Prospero that is being insidiously invaded by a race of shape-shifting monsters that can take on the forms of anybody in town. And the main characters are Mina Todd, who is this young girl who's lived in this town all her life and knows the secrets, knows these monsters, and has been fighting them with every fiber of her being. And Ben Pastor, this good, honest kid who's just brought in out of town and has been thrust into this world of nightmares and horrors. In this scene, they have been spying on a party being held by the titular Splinters, the shape-shifting monsters of this world. They have been caught, and they are running through the forest and trying to get away. Mina put her hand on my chest, forcing me to stop. "Listen," she said. I stopped. I could hear the faint sound of the wind rustling through the trees above us, the faint snapping of a pine cone falling not too far away. But other than that, dead silence. "It's quiet," I said softly. "No," she said, "not that. It's almost like..." Her eyes widened, and before I could ask her what was going on, she clapped a hand around my wrist and pulled me into a nearby thicket of bushes. Less than a second after we were completely concealed, I could hear them. The low, droning beat of wings. A faint beam of moonlight penetrated the trees nearby, allowing me to see the horrors that had been sent after us. There were three of them that I could see, each about the size of a basketball, each with massive, dragonfly-like wings that fluttered and hummed as they weaved their way through the trees. It was only as they passed through the light that I could see what they really were. Spare parts. A hand, a foot, an extra head, parts that the bodies no longer needed, given wings and sent out into the forest as scouts to better track us down. They had probably sent dozens off in every direction. The head and the foot flew away, bobbing and weaving into the distance. The hand landed on a tree no more than 10 feet away from us. It crawled up and down, its 7 fingers making scrabbling, scratching noises as they fought for purchase on the bark. 2 far too human eyes on stalks jutted from the severed wrist, looking around as if they sensed something. Its wings twitched. I tried not to breathe. The hand shuddered, arching its back as a set of small holes broke through its carapace. At least 5 small, bright red snake tongues flitted through, tasting the air as it tried to find us out. It must not have liked what it tasted, though. The tongues retracted, it flitted its wings heavily, and once more it was off buzzing into the forest. Once certain we were safe, we stepped silently out of the bush and continued through the forest. I could hear them in the distance, stalking, searching for us, but they had lost their fury. They were organized now, planning things out. We would have to wait for them to close the trap and then hide again, as close to its edge as possible, to let them pass right over us as their drones had. Then we could make a break for town. That was the plan, anyway. We had just made it to a crossing in a shallow river. With moonlight glimmering off the water, I was trying to figure out if it was shallow enough to walk across, or if we would have to use a nearby fallen tree that spanned the river as a bridge. It was then that we heard the inhuman roar of rage and frustration in front of us. There was a sound of great violence as if trees were being ripped from the ground, and a few seconds later a boulder the size of a Volkswagen was hurled from the trees before us into the river. The thing was coming right for us. I looked at the boulder in the water, trying to gauge how deep it was. When I heard the creature's pace quicken, I decided the answer would have to be deep enough. It was my turn to lead Mina by the wrist. I pulled her into the river, the icy mountain stream shocking me as it splashed around my knees. I pointed under the fallen tree. Mina understood. She dove beneath the downed tree. There was a narrow gap beneath it, but she could keep enough of her head above water to breathe. I dove in after, half swimming, half crawling, as I squeezed in beside her. I could barely, just barely, keep my nose above the water and stay concealed. The water was cold. Too cold. We couldn't last long here. We couldn't see it, but we could hear it as it came out of the forest. Its growl was low and deep and mixed with that popping, clicking sound they made when they talked. As it searched the banks of the river, I could vaguely see it walking on 4 long, powerful legs ending in clawed hands. It soon came to our log, and for the briefest of moments, I hoped it would walk on by. There was a dull thud as it experimentally touched the log. Then another. A scratching sound. My heart started pounding heavily. It felt like it was trying to move the log, trying to pull us from our hiding spot. Any second now, it would find us and... Another thud. No, it wasn't trying to find us. It was trying to do something worse. It was walking across the log. Its heavy footsteps above us strained and splintered the wood. Its scrabbling, clawed feet fought for purchase as the log bowed slightly under its weight. And then it stopped, right above us. It had found us. I knew it. This was it. One of its long, 3-fingered claws came into view, dipped into the water in front of us. At any moment, it would grab my shirt and pull me free. I hoped that Mina, at least, would be able to make a break for it as those claws dug into my chest. They came closer, closer, and then they curled together as the hand cupped water and retreated above the log. We listened as the splinter heavily slurped the water and then bounded across the log into the forest where we had come from. I waited a few seconds, but the forest stayed silent. I pushed out from underneath the fallen log. Mina, shivering heavily, soon followed. We gotta get out of here, I said, through painful, chattery teeth. Get warm, hypo. I know, Mina said. Normally so tough, so strong despite her frail frame, it was almost painful to see her like this. I pulled her closer to me as we both stumbled through the forest. Though I half expected her to push away, she didn't fight me. Under the circumstances, warmth was warmth. I thought hard, trying to remember if we still had the emergency kit in the back of the SUV. There should have been some thermal blankets in there, thin but capable of reflecting the body's heat back in, something which might help save. One of them was leaning up against a tree right in front of us. The man in the dark hoodie we had seen at their party. The Reaper. His vaguely insectoid face stared at us curiously with 4 shimmering black eyes. Glossy black quills poked through his sickly green scalp where he should have had hair, and where his mouth should have been was an ungainly mess of muted worm-like tentacles. Horrible though his face was, it was his left arm that truly held my attention, that long, curving sickle of bone jutting out from the stump that used to be his wrist. It was utterly lethal-looking, and if he decided to leap at us with his powerful, grasshopper-like legs, I'm sure he would have taken us. Instead, he cocked his head slightly, and the corners of his mouth contorted into what could have been a smile, and said in that popping, chittering splinter voice of his, "Run."
Wow.
You have just heard the talents of Matt Carter reading from his new novel, Splinters. Matt, you had me literally holding my breath when you had the creature reaching into the water to get a drink of water.
That's the idea.
When we return, I would love to hear a little bit about the process of writing this in collaboration with Fiona. Do we have time to start on this one? We may not. No, we don't really. Okay, checking here, and we do not. So we're just going to take a break right now. We'll tell you that Splinters is coming out, we hope, a year or so from now. We don't have a definite date, but autumn of next year, 2014.
Here's hoping. We're hoping for a Halloween release. It all depends on our publisher, though.
But we will keep you posted on that. So you and I are listening to Matt Carter today as he read from Splinters, book one of the Prospero Chronicles, I cannot talk today, in collaboration with FJR Titchener, fellow author, PCC student. She's also his wife and a very talented, beautiful lady. So we'll be looking forward to seeing that from them when we come back. We're going to be talking a little bit about the collaborative process and any advice that you have for writers. This is Over Coffee. I'm Dot Cannon. Back in just a moment on LancerRadio.org. This is Lancer Radio, LancerRadio.org. This is Over Coffee with Dot Cannon, and today I'm speaking to author Matt Carter, who has just literally had me holding my breath as he has read from his new book, Splinters, that he co-wrote with FJR Titchener. Matt, what's that process like when the two of you are collaborating on a book? How do you do this?
Well, I'd say one of the main things that really works in our favor is that, you know, we know each other so well, and we know our strengths and weaknesses, and we complement those as best as possible. The main point we had from the start is that was going to work in our favor is we wanted this book to be between these two characters, two perspectives. Basically, we're going to alternate chapters between them. We designed this outline in advance to allow for that. And basically, we were writing two chapters each weekend. I would write one chapter from Ben's perspective. She would write one chapter from Mina's perspective. We would trade at the end of the weekend. Then we would put together. Then after that, you know, once we got a draft together, it's a matter of just the two of us combing through at the same time. I mean, really, our skills aligned in such a way that we can get a manuscript done a lot faster than average. I mean, we get a first draft in about 3 months, usually a final draft or, you know, final to send on to our publisher, draft done in about 6.
How are you seeing Ben and Mina evolve and change as you're swapping the chapters you've written?
Well, she helps me remove my tendency to make him a bit more of an action movie star. And Mina's mind is a little more cluttered. I just help bring some sense to it if, you know, it goes off a little too much. I mean, it's the way we write is we just are so train of thought and getting stuff out there in the first draft. And after a while, it takes, you know, looking at it to realize, maybe this didn't make as much sense as I originally thought. Let's see about clearing that up, or just maybe that's a little redundant. Let's remove that.
Because that held my attention. I'm probably going to have a nightmare tonight about a hand that has tongues sticking out of its fingers.
Sorry. No, I'm not sorry, actually. That's kind of the intent. We want to entertain. We want to scare. We want to do all sorts of things. I mean, it's a fun series. It's going to go to some dark places, some dark for horror purposes, some dark for just being a teenager living in this world places. I mean, it's a pretty intense series.
It's intense, but like you say, it's a fun scare. It's the kind of thing where you scream when somebody jumps out in a sheet and yells boo, something of that nature.
Yeah, that's a lot of my influence. Fiona, she's very cerebral. She's very, the psychological terror of it. Nobody can do it like she does. And I'm the guy who was, you know, self-raised on these horror movies. I try and make it as visually appealing as possible, even though it's just, you know, on a page. I want to get into your head, and I want to take you there whether you want to go there or not.
And you've done that very effectively, I think.
Thank you kindly.
Would you tell me a little bit about dealing with what you were talking about before, about the rejection? Because any writer on the planet is going to hear no thank you more times.
Yeah, it's part of being a writer. You're going to get rejected. It's... you can let it get to you or you can move on. And I'd say it's actually a little healthy to let it get to you a little bit. It lets you know you're vulnerable. It lets you know that you can take these hits. But what you have to do is you can't give up. You know, never give up, never surrender. You just, you know, if they knock you down, you got to get right back up and keep going at this. Because if this is what you love, if this is what you know you're going to do, you got to keep going at it.
And what's so much fun is that you and I talked 3 years ago, and I said, what would you like to do in the future? And you virtually said what's happening for you right now.
Hey, trust me, no one's as surprised as I am that that's the exact case. That was, you know, the wish, the dream. I mean, I couldn't have told you 3 years ago, hey, I'm going to get an agent. Hey, I'm going to get a publisher. Hey, I'm going to get a, you know, 3-book deal. I mean, you know, when does that happen? I mean, I'm surprised. I'm very fortunate. I'm very lucky that these things have happened. I mean, because that's an unfortunate part as much as anything, is just a lot of this is luck. You know, you hope you get your manuscript to the right set of eyes on the right day when they're feeling just right for, you know, wanting this kind of story and saying, you know what, I think I'll give you a shot. I mean, it's skill. You can have all the skill in the world and there's still going to be that luck factor. And that's so scary. But if you keep at it, eventually you'll find that right, you know, place, the right set of eyes, the right, just the right fit.
Take me and the writers who are listening to the next step. Would you found the right set of eyes, you've signed your contract, you've got your 3-book deal. What do you have to do now? What's your work day?
My work day is, well, hey, I still got to do a day job. I mean, this isn't going to pay for itself for a long time. I mean, hopefully sooner rather than later. Sorry, that was supposed to be a knock on wood. I didn't mean to create any weird sound effects for anyone on the line there.
We've got a haunted studio, that's all.
Okay, cool. Now it's a matter of building up a social media presence. You know, beforehand, I just had a personal Facebook account, which I would, you know, keep in touch with friends, play games on. Nowadays, I'm maintaining an author's Facebook page. I have an author's webpage and blog, which I'm having a ton of fun with now because it's October. We are doing a 31-day countdown of my favorite horror movies of all time, mattcarterauthor.weebly.com, for those interested. And Twitter. And it's basically just keeping myself out there, building a name, building an audience, and trying not to go too crazy from it.
And then what happens in addition to all the social media and promotion, which is great that you can do that now independently, what happens with, like, the editing process? Is there anything people should know?
It's, you know, well, hopefully you get a good editor. We have fantastic editors at Jollyfish Press. They go through our stories with a fine-toothed comb. They find out so many things we never caught, you know, little continuity things, unnecessary words you use too much. And, you know, they say, and they point out things that don't make sense and say, hey, could you make this make sense for us? And then we do that. And then that's great. I mean, a good professional editor is invaluable.
And what would you say, working with the good professional editors and marketing would be one of the most important things you've learned about your writing from this experience of getting splinters out there?
I'm too wordy, personally. No, you have, you know, that passage I just read, it sounds like it's all very quick and the like, but that probably got cut down about 1,000 words from what I originally had. I tend to ramble on a lot, if you haven't noticed already. And it's you know, it's humbling to have someone tell you that, but at the same time, I'm aware of this, and it's helping me become a better writer through this whole process of, you know, peer review first with Fiona, then editor's review and an agent's review, and it feels good.
So you're becoming more concise, more taut.
More concise. I stop using certain words a lot. First, I swear the word "it seemed to" appeared like 5,000 times in this novel, and I've just cut all the instances of seemed out of it.
We will see no seemed in splinters is what you just said.
Problem. There might be one or two that escaped us, but no, there's some, or one or two times where it was flat out necessary. But yeah, you won't see it nearly as much as it was in the earliest drafts.
Finally, suppose that 5 years from now, everything you say right now could happen for you. What would happen?
Oh, heck. I'd win the lottery 5 or 6 times over, live in a mansion made of bones.
Come on, be reasonable.
I know. Long and the short, I'd just love to be able to support. I'd love for my wife and I to be able to support ourselves with our writing. I'd love to, you know, pay off debts. I'd love to, you know, put some money toward my dad. I mean, he's did a fantastic job of raising me, and I want to be able to help him be happy and independent and retired so he doesn't have to work 8 or 9 jobs a day to get things going. It's, you know, family comes first for me.
Matt, thank you so much for your time today.
It was a true pleasure, Dot. Thank you for having me here.
And by the way, a very happy anniversary to you and your beautiful wife.
Oh, thank you.